Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, sometimes the international. And oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, welcome to hour number three, and we're going to go to dipper number three. We're moving right on into the topic of the Trump trial, and that's what I'm calling it, the Trump trial. Which one? Well, the one that's ongoing right now, the one where they had jury selection this week, the one that is just farcical. Listen, I'm going to bring somebody on, though, who is better able to talk about this than me. He served as a prosecutor for a number of years in Madison County. He's also served formerly as the U.S. attorney for the Northern District of Alabama, appointed by Trump himself. Jay Towne, who got his degree first from Notre Dame and his law degree from Seton Hall and served as a judge advocate general in the U.S. Marine Corps. And he's going to be on Jesse Waters tonight. So how did I get lucky to have him on today? But Jay Towne, how you doing?
How you doing? I appreciate the unpaid promotion there.
So. no worries. Well, I'll tell you what, one more in the unpaid promotion. You wrote a pretty good piece that came out a couple of days ago on Daily Caller, where you talked about this case with Trump and Alvin Bragg in New York is the perfect lawfare prosecution. What's going on, man? Break this thing down for us.
Yeah, so the op-ed I wrote, I describe, you know, look, I spent 22 years as a prosecutor at what some might consider a fairly high level. And I can tell you that I really never believed in lawfare. I always thought that, you know, any good prosecutor, they're definitely, any prosecutor, someone who takes the oath, is going to say, you know, this is misconduct that we've discovered and investigated, and that person did it, and we're going to prosecute them. And what's clear to me that's going on in really all four of the prosecutions involving Donald Trump is that this is lawfare. They found a person, didn't like him, and then they've wrapped what they consider misconduct around him. And so think about how in New York, what is assembled neatly there. We have, you first would need a weak but ambitious prosecutor, right? So think Harvard guy in a bad suit that has such a bad reputation that he arrests, you know, bodega clerks and subway passengers for defending their own lives and the lives of others. You know, maybe he cut people loose without bond that were illegal immigrants that had just beaten a couple of cops, and on the way out of the jail without a bond, they gave America the bird. That same DA can't get felons, murderers, extradited back to New York because prosecutors around the country think he's just going to cut them loose, yeah. And that's just a threat to public safety. So they just would rather house that murderer in their jail on whatever the lesser charges are in this case, Arizona, Maricopa County. So you got to have a DA like that. That's hard to find, right? They exist. Larry Krasner in Philly, right? Gascon out in LA, they exist. But it's really hard to find someone who's that awful. And then on top of that, you got to have a really vague charging instrument where the defendant's not even really sure what he's been charged with. It's a series of misdemeanors, but at the same time, there's some other magical crime out there that he also committed that nobody really knows exists yet, what crime he has to defend himself against, and that is the charging instrument. Then you got to have a judge who's unmoored by the canons of judicial conduct in the bench, who refuses to recuse himself and issues a gag order to prevent, you know, further exposure of his own conflicts of interest, his daughter's conflicts of interest, her financial direct conflicts of interest as it relates to the case on her daddy's own docket. She's raising money off that case for all of Trump's political enemy.
Wow.
And then you'd have to have witnesses who, let's just say, are testimonially flexible.
Yeah.
Right?
The primary one
is a convicted felon who's been convicted of perjury already, and a federal judge just a couple of weeks ago told him that he had perjured himself again, and then a former porn star. Right. Those are your two main witnesses. And so, you know, a lot of that is kind of tongue in cheek And I hate to sound snarky about the prosecution of the former president of the United States, but Phil, you would think that the prosecution of any person, but certainly the first prosecution of the former president of the United States, would be brought by serious people with serious evidence of serious charges.
Well,
I
look at this too, Jay, and that's exactly what I feel like. This is like lampooning the idea of criminal prosecution. But let me ask you something, because I look at it and think, how are they mixing the state and the federal? Because you've got Alvin Bragg, who releases people on felony charges, but he's trying the president on a state misdemeanor, but somehow he's looping it into a federal felony. How is he allowed to even make that bridge happen?
Well, he's not. I mean, again, these are all wonderful issues on appeal. Judge Merchan, who's the trial judge, doesn't have the courage to handle it at his level, so he'll let three other judges, or perhaps nine other judges someday, handle this. Today they mentioned a secondary state statute. We still really don't know the state theory, but here's, no matter whether it's the federal law or the state law for the secondary, the aggravating criminal event, right? So he falsified business records, which is the Class A misdemeanor, in furtherance of another crime, and that other crime has to be that he promoted the election of himself by unlawful means. And so far, David Pecker and the state of New York, all they've talked about is a bunch of legal activity, right? NDA.
Yeah.
Well, they want to call it hush money because it's tawdry and seedy. They want to talk about a meeting in 2015 between Trump and Cohen and David Pecker, the National Enquirer's, number one at the time, and how, hey, anything you guys can do to help would be great. Now, that is hardly the making of a conspiracy. And yet they want to say that when they went out and did these catch and kill stories, they take a tawdry story involving Trump and they pay the doorman $30,000 for a story that was not even true. And Trump didn't direct them to do that. Trump didn't even pay the doorman. He didn't pay Karen McDougal, right? The National Enquirer did. And yet they're spending all this time on that tawdry sort of conduct by Cohen and by Pecker. And Trump didn't have anything to do with it. Trump didn't do a single thing involving this case until he was president of the United States. It was February of 2017 when he got a bill from Cohen saying, you owe me X amount of dollars. And he paid him in, 11 installments. That was his criminal misconduct. But of course, Trump knew all this was going on. He was scheming to legally pay people to not talk to the news about his story, or about their story, rather. So, again, it has to be by unlawful means. So far, I haven't heard a crime yet, right? I mean, if you want to start strong as a prosecutor, which I always tried to do, that you put out a witness that you think is, one, unimpeachable, and two, going to be a good fact witness that really lays out the entire case for you, and then you build around that. This guy so far has talked about, the seedy underworld of tabloid journalism. Okay. All right. That's fine. And Trump knew the guy. They were friends for 40 years. Okay. Big deal. That's not illegal.
It's not illegal. And on top of that, I mean, civil practice is my thing. We just settled a case the other day. Settlement agreements and non-disclosures and non-disparagements are a part of every civil matter, pre-litigation even. I mean, when you're just trying to settle something so it doesn't become something, that's not unusual. And I'm looking at this thinking, then why is Stormy Daniels not being brought up on defamation or breach of contract, for that matter? Because she got paid a lot of money, allegedly, and then she went ahead and talked about it anyway. What the heck?
Don't forget, she sued Trump for defamation, lost, and owes him $600,000 for his attorney's fees,
which is rich.
Yeah. So I work at Gray Analytics, which is a defense contractor here in Huntsville, and we have contracts all over the country. And we sign NDAs before we even talk to somebody about whether or not we want to do business or
That's
not.
That's right.
So non-disclosure agreements are very common. All of our employees have non-disparagement agreements so that if they leave the company, they don't go out and talk bad about the company. They don't solicit our employees to go with them, right? All of that is an actionable offense. And so, I mean, these are ways that you protect yourself as a human, as a business, as an enterprise, and they're very common. And I think that the Alvin Bragg's office is going to do their best to throw it all against the wall and hope the jury just thinks, well, he must have done something wrong. The unique thing about this, though, normally when you have a case with multiple counts, you have multiple. You think of the Mar-a-Lago case. There's five or six different statutes invoked there, right? Yeah. Different types of misconduct.
Yeah.
These are 34 counts, and they're all the same thing. If they think he didn't do one of them, they think he didn't do all of them. There's really no way for them to say, well, I don't think that this check in March of 2017, that he really had that criminal intent. But these other 10 checks, well, he did. I mean, that wouldn't make any logical sense. Nobody's going to certainly argue that. It's a global resolution. I truly believe that I think that this is going to be a hung jury because there's people on there that just want to convict. But these two lawyers, I would never put a lawyer on a jury. Awful decision. They're the smartest lawyer in the room. Just ask any lawyer, right? Go ask my mother who the best lawyer in the world is, and she'll say it's her son, right? So because I've told her that so many times, she believes it now. But what those lawyers are going to do is say, there's no conspiracy here. You guys had a conversation. You know, that's not a conspiracy. They never even followed up in the ensuing years during the campaign. They had a half an hour meeting at Trump Tower in 2015 before the guy was even a candidate. That's not a conspiracy, right? And what's unlawful about what they talked about to begin with? Even if they did conspire, hey, Phil, if anybody comes on your radio, I'm running for Congress, right? Dale Strong is now president of the United States. I'm going to run for Congress. If somebody comes on your radio station and says something bad about me, please tell me. We've just committed election fraud in Manhattan, apparently, right? Well,
listen, Jay, with about 1 minute left before we have to get off for the break, me this. There's a gag order, and there's a hearing today even to decide whether Trump's even allowed to talk about this case. With about 45 seconds, your thoughts on that gag order?
This gag order is the most unconstitutional gag order that has ever existed under these circumstances. It shows the weakness of Judge Merchan, and this is something that needs to be corrected now. Witnesses are out talking about Donald Trump and his guilt. Trump can't defend himself, according to the judge and the DA. It's an injustice.
Wow. All right. Well, listen, tell Jesse Waters to come to Alabama. We'll buy him some barbecue. In the meantime, Semper Fi, and thanks for your time today, man.
Semper Fi. Thank you, brother.
All right, we'll see you. That's Jay Towne, former U.S. attorney, who has a bead on this trial, man. If we'd had more time, I'd have asked you what he thought about the other issues going on with the Trump lawfare. In the meantime, we will go to a break right now. Come right back. I'll take some text messages, and then I got some more on that same topic. I'm going to break down a few pieces from, I don't know, what did Jonathan Turley say? That's a George Washington University law professor. What does he think about this? And then did Rasmussen just poll people about what their thoughts on it are? Yep, I'll tell you all about it. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, wow, making it cool to be a conservative. Hey, by the way, tell you what else is cool. The brand spanking new podcast is out. So you already know that the Right Side Radio audio podcast that Big Rig takes every day's live show, breaks it down, puts it out there in podcast format for you to download. It's got close to 250,000 downloads now of the podcast in the of the radio show. But just yesterday, with press releases and stories that came out on Yellowhammer and 1819 and others, we announced that Right Side Media, which is what we are overall, Right Side Media just added its first video podcast. It's called The Right Philosophy, and you can go to our website, rightsideradio.org. That's rightsideradio.org. And all the topics that you might come to expect from this show, things like liberty and freedom and faith, family, and all that stuff is all in there. And now it's a video podcast, actually filmed at my house every week. There are three already in the hopper. We waited till we had a few built up. And then I got another one coming out, I believe, tomorrow. I think post-production's already done. And then we've got another one coming out next week. The goal is one a week. The Right Philosophy, the video podcast, and the latest in content generation from Right Side Media, which is the owner here of Right Side Radio. And we're proud of it. Very proud of it. Go to the website. Check it out. Jay from Hartzell says, with regards to the Trump trial, the only misconduct is being conducted by Bragg in his office, which is criminal in itself. It's also, anyone can see it any other way. I do not disagree. Beth from Huntsville, it's not a prosecution, it's a persecution. Honestly, I ask why Mr. Trump wants this job. May God bless him. And I, you know what, Beth, I've thought of the same thing. Why would you want this job? That job is literally, they're doing everything they can to wreck his life for merely wanting the opportunity to run for president. They cannot stand it. I mean, the whole thing about Trump derangement, that is real. It is diagnosable. It is a true disease. It's like the pandemic of politics. So, I mean, imagine this. It's America. Everybody's allowed to step up. Some will win, some will lose. If you are not otherwise a felon, you're of the right age, and you're a U.S. citizen, guess what? You're allowed to run for office. And if you're a billionaire and you can finance it yourself, or for that matter, if you're able to become president, and then in your re-election, you get, oh, I don't know, 81 million votes or whatever it was. And then on top of that, you're coming back to run again. It's a clear indication that the masses want to see what you can do. But they can't stand that. You people shouldn't have a right to vote on him. Oh, no, we can't let that happen. Charlie from Huntsville. Hey, Phil, since Biden is following in the footsteps of Obama, he should write his own audacity book. I'm thinking The Audacity of Dope. Oh, that's genius. The Audacity of Dope. He said, see what I did there? Drugs in the White House, his son, and then he's a dope. Oh, wow. The audacity. He went from the audacity of hope to the audacity of dope. That is hilarious, Charlie. Kudos to you. All right. We got to give him some applause. Can we do that? Do we have time for applause, or is it too late? There it is. Charlie, good job. All right, we're taking a break. We're coming right back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. Back, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. Just covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. This one, Alabama. Y'all, I'm talking about this show. Goes way down south of Birmingham and up north of Huntsville and Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and even Mississippi. Thrown in just for good measure. I got to tell you who else covers a lot of ground. That's the folks at Southern Immediate Care. Man, they're growing. I believe they're adding more here very soon. But yeah, Southern Immediate Care, a chain of clinics that covers ground in places like Gadsden, Anniston, Atala, six more locations in and around the Birmingham area, open 7 days a week, y'all. Every location, 7 days a week, and they will see all ages. I like to say it's like pediatric to geriatric. They will see all ages. Southern Immediate Care. This is who I use personally. No kidding. Had to go there last week. In fact, I had to go after hours because of work. And guess what? They're open until 10 o'clock. Holy cow. Southern Immediate Care. Every time I've gone, it has been clean. It has been friendly. It has been professional. Get you in, get you out. Not kidding. And by the way, I asked them to advertise because I was already so pleased. It's not the other way around. So yeah, Southern Immediate Care. You need help, like a medical attention, even on a Saturday. You look them up, find the location nearest to you, head on down there. And oh, by the way, while you're filling out your forms, tell them you heard about it on Right Side Radio. Let's see if I got some more stuff here in the text line before I jump back in on my resources. John from Harvest says, with all this bogus lawfare, the next generation will have a new understanding for the origin of the phrase trumped up charges. I've thought about that. I almost named this Dipper Trumped Up Charges, but I just figured, you know, people would say, oh man, somebody else has already done that, like John from Harvest. Glenn from Bluntsville, going back on that previous one, says the CEO for Bank of America should be held accountable for this jackassery. I do not argue, man. Russell from Rural Route 1 again says, I believe the Biden administration is working with their allies on Wall Street to take over the housing market. You will own nothing and you will be happy. And he sent me, oh, you sent me the link. I see it. Russell, thank you, man. I will check that out from CNBC, how Wall Street bought up single-family homes and put them up for rent. Okay, I will definitely check that out. Thanks, man. What else we got up here? unknown. Oh, Brian from Huntsville. I see it. Brian from Huntsville sends in, says, yep, Bidenomics. 4 more years will have us using dollar bills as toilet paper instead of buying them up, buying TP with them. Oh, my gosh. No kidding. All right. So I'm in this lawfare section. So first of all, Jonathan Turley, who is to me is one of the most even-keeled commentators. I anticipate that he leans to the right. I do. But he comes across as being so knowledgeable, so well presented in his thoughts. He's a George Washington University law school professor. He just came out and slammed this Manhattan District Attorney Alvin Bragg's case against Trump, called it an embarrassment to the justice system. This is not the kind of language you usually say. I mean, he'll be assertive, but I've never seen him be like just insulting. This is an embarrassment to the justice system, he says. He went on to say, if you polled people and asked if Trump was responsible for the bubonic plague, we'd end up with the exact same 35% saying that he did. We have these hard numbers on either end of the polls when it comes to Trump. They don't move no matter what the subject is. What's clear in this case, though, is Trump is right. He said, I mean, this is an embarrassment. The fact that we are actually talking about this case being presented in a New York courtroom leaves me in utter disbelief. He also points out, and I forgot about this, the misdemeanor charges were technically had already passed their statute of limitations. So the underlying charges, the inchoate crimes that lead to the felony charges, allegedly, they relate back to the 2016 election. Y'all, that was 8 years ago. These are misdemeanor charges for which the statute of limitations has expired. And basically they had to do some complete workarounds to be able to get this thing to stay in front of the judge long enough to get a jury. And by the way, Judge Merchan, that man, I'm not impressed, let's put it that way. And I'm typically impressed by judges. I've had some bad judges. I've seen some judges I thought didn't have decorum or professionalism. I've never seen one who just basically had no backbone. Rasmussen did a poll, though. Newsmax has got the story. Dateline yesterday. Only 4 in 10 U.S. voters say that the former President Donald Trump is likely to get a fair trial in New York City. By the way, I should have asked Jay Town this if I thought of it and had time. Why did they not move to transfer the venue? Maybe they did. I've forgotten this. But why did they not move to transfer the venue? I don't know. But 4 in 10, only 40% say they believe that Trump can get a fair trial where he is. I would say that's optimistic. Says a total 51% of voters say it's not likely that Trump can get a fair trial in the current case brought by Alvin Bragg. Among that majority of voters, 31% of those say a fair trial is not at all likely. Not at all. Like, they hold out no hope. It's baked in. It's bad. It's not going to happen. That's what they say. 42% say Trump will likely get a fair trial, but of that, only 27% say it's very likely. So the numbers of people that think, oh, he's going to get a fair trial. It's the way it works in America. We're going to see it. It's going to happen. I do believe in our justice system. I do. I have said to juries before that I have seen the law in other places and I have seen the rule of law be disregarded in other places around the world. And I know for a fact that for all its warts and blemishes, that technically the United States still has the best system of jurisprudence in the world, bar none. If you are not able to have an attorney, one will be provided for you. If you have your violations of due process rights under the Fourth Amendment, if you have unlawful search and seizure, if the penalties are extreme, then you have the same rights as the richest man. Now, I will say this. The more money you have, the better lawyers you can afford, technically. But that's not to say it's still not the best system in the world. I've never seen anything like what we're seeing right now. If there were a one case, I'd go, wow, Trump's going to have to figure this out, man. But that's not what we have. We have the case with Alvin Bragg. We have the case with E. Jean Carroll. We have the case with the special prosecutor or special investigator who's appointed by Merrick Garland regarding January 6th, which then morphed into, oh, by the way, and also classified documents. And then we have Fannie Willis over in Atlanta. Where'd that case go? That's got quiet. It's like, okay, where else can, oh, then you got all the cases where they're trying to get Trump thrown off the ballot because some secretaries of state believe they have unilateral authority to make the law. It's like nothing I've ever seen before. And you cannot tell me this is not a concerted effort. That there is not, listen, you know what would just make my day? Is if somebody would come up with the smoking gun, the audio recording they made on their phone or the picture they snapped or, you know, I don't know, the daily log of the meeting where some of the, like Fannie Willis and Alvin Bragg met with somebody in the back room of a hotel somewhere and planned all this. There's coordination. Don't tell me there's not. I think the evil powers that are behind most of it are cagier than that. They're probably not going to have them all in the room at the same time. But don't tell me this wasn't a concerted effort. Everybody wanted a piece of get Trump off the ballot pie. Everybody wanted to be the one who later on would say, you saved the day, man. Whew, we almost had Trump again. Like some people were going to be allowed to even vote for the man. Whew, you saved the day. They're wanting that. They want that so bad they can hardly stand it. They want to be recorded as the ones that just chewed up and spit out our system of jurisprudence, the justice system. Now, here's the thing, by the way. I will say this. It's a bit surreal what's happening in New York City. It's just, in fact, it's beyond surreal. It's kind of weird. It's you couldn't write a story like this. You've got, well, and Jay Towns said it quite well. You've got a situation right now where the lead witnesses are a tabloid owner, a porn star, and a felony convicted lawyer. What? I mean, this sounds like the beginnings of a bad joke. It sounds like a Saturday Night Live skit. That's what it sounds like. Like if you were putting something together, let's say, how ridiculous can we make it? I don't know. Throw in a porn star. Okay. You couldn't ask for anything more bizarre a world than this. But that's what we've got. So you may remember, by the way, Michael Avenatti. Remember him? Oh, my gosh. Well, I think, was it Tucker Carlson used to call him the sleazy porn lawyer? Michael Avenatti, the sleazy porn lawyer, he actually went on Tucker Carlson to confront Tucker Carlson on Tucker Carlson's own show about calling him a sleazy porn lawyer. By the way, he's sleazy, and who did he defend? Stormy Daniels, the porn star. But anyway, story here on hotair.com says, did you ever think you'd see the day when Michael Avenatti would be talking to the Trump legal team offering to testify in support of Donald Trump? Y'all, it just gets weirder. He's serving a 19-year sentence for extortion, tax evasion, fraud, embezzlement, and other federal crimes. But he says that Trump's defense team contacted him. Really? Avenatti is a former attorney for Stormy Daniels, a porn actress that allegedly paid by Donald Trump to remain silent about their alleged affair. The trial, now described as Trump's hush money trial, begins today in Manhattan. This came out Monday. Avenatti made a name for himself. He even called for Trump's indictment back at the time. CNN and MSNBC just fawned all over him, y'all. It was gross. They were even talking about whether he should run for president. The sleazy porn lawyer who'd never run for anything is going to run for president. Anyway, now he thinks he can speak up. He says, in his words, this is Avenatti trying to grab some media time, he said, I think we're both targeted by the justice system. There's a lot of people on the left that were very concerned about my potential rise in the Democrat Party. And my potential rise in Democrat politics. Yeah. And the fact that I was not someone that was easily controlled. That's why you're in prison, dude. It would be something to see Avenatti appear in court, says this article, in support of Trump, even via video. That's for sure. Yeah, it's just, listen, man, you can't make this stuff up. This whole thing, this whole Trump trial is bizarro world in a courtroom. It's like everything has been taken and turned upside down. It's like they took a Saturday Night Live skit and said, let's make it real. Okay. Who's going to be the witness? Get the guy who runs the tabloid, whose last name is so unusual, I don't even feel like saying it. And then go ahead and get the porn star. What's her name? Stormy Daniels. Sure it is. Okay, bring her in. Bring in the one who calls herself Stormy. And then where's that porn lawyer? He's in jail. I get him too. Okay. And then on top of that, they're going to get Cohen, the other lawyer, who, by the way, is a convicted felon now. Let's get him too. So we got two convicted lawyers, a porn star, and a tabloid man. Nothing to see here. Just a Trump trial. This is the way it goes. Listen, pray for him, though. I mean, there's only so much someone can take, and they need to know they've got the support of others. And it's not just like send him $5 so you can feel better about his legal bills. I mean, that's important, too. If you want to, certainly do it. But I would encourage you to do this. Pray for him. Whether you like him or not, this is wrong. Whether you like mean tweets or not, this is wrong. Whether you think he's too bombastic or he's just not, you know, your guy, whether you wanted somebody else in the primary, that's fine. Pray for him anyway. You know why? Because at this point, he is the Republican nominee for president, and they're doing everything they can to torpedo him. And we're going to have 4 more years of Joe Biden. Well, 4 more years of whoever handles Joe Biden. All right, let's take a break there, Big Rig. We'll take that last break of the day, and then we'll head it to the house. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like using common sense like a superpower. A story that, by the way, just came out on Fox News just a little while ago. I think Jay Town was referencing this, but it came out just in the last couple hours. New York prosecutors in the Alvin Bragg case reveal another crime that Trump allegedly tried to conceal with his falsified business records. So basically what's happening is they're realizing by the way, I didn't think you were allowed to do this. I thought if there was an indictment, you had a charging sheet, and they brought you to trial on those charges. I did not know they could just like move the goalposts in the middle of trial. I don't do criminal law, but this sounds an awful odd. But says Trump is dealing with the 34 counts of falsifying records. By the way, that's basically 34 checks he wrote. Each one's now a separate count. But they're going to try and say that somewhere in there was an attempt to conceal a conspiracy to unlawfully promote his candidacy. Really? Okay. Any two or more persons who conspire to promote or prevent the election of any person to a public office by unlawful means shall be guilty of a misdemeanor. Okay. What that basically means is, hey, help me get elected, man. Okay, let's do it. You're my guy. Conspiracy! Unreal. This is what Jay Town was talking about. I see what he means now. I got a caller on the line. Let me grab that real quick. Brian from Huntsville. Hey, buddy, how you doing?
Doing okay, sir. And Trump has been known to show mercy on people that have crossed him in the past once they acquiesce. And I'm wondering, with 19 years to go in the pen, if Avenatti might be trying to help the Trump legal team so maybe he gets some sentences reduced or something along those lines.
You know, that would be interesting.
Okay, have a good one.
Okay, man, see you. That would be, I see what he's saying. Avenatti, so, you know, here's the other thing. Avenatti can still write a book from prison. And so if he's the guy who testifies and it winds up being an effective opportunity for Trump, he's gonna wind up doing, you know, interviews from prison. You know he is. It's just unreal. Hey, by the way, Doe Man from Harvest pointed out that the Alabama Military Collectors Association spring show is this coming Friday and Saturday at the Huntsville JCs. That's cool. So yeah, it's going to be at the JCs Community Building Saturday and Friday afternoon and Saturday. Alabama Military Collectors Association. I might want to check that out myself. Tracy from Athens says the third under Garland, the DOJ, was transferred in to help Bragg. At a state or city level, he did opening remarks at the Trump trial, not Bragg. That's interesting. I did not know that. I thought he was an assistant DA working for Bragg. You're saying that he came in from the DOJ to assist. That's interesting. Thanks, Tracy. Glenn from Bluntsville, all these people are liars and criminals. How are you supposed to believe their testimony? I don't know. But here's the thing. It doesn't affect the admissibility, but it definitely goes to the weight. That's what we always say in court. The testimony might otherwise be admissible, but its credibility, its weight, can be impeached. So here's what's going to happen. You're going to wind up having, let's pick one. Avenatti is going to be, or for that matter, what's the other guy's name? Cohen. Cohen's going to be testifying on the stand. Cross-examination by Trump's team. Mr. Cohen, isn't it true that you were convicted of a felony? Objection. No, I'm sorry. That's fair game. It goes to the question of the credibility of the witness. And evidence of a recent conviction of felony under the federal rules of evidence is typically admissible. It doesn't mean you're proving that the nature of the crime that he was convicted of, but it does go to the weight of his credibility at trial. So we'll see. We will see. Mike from Coxie says, not just Trump, but all of us. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers and rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. It is true, man. It is true. Pray against it. All right. Listen, grades were in. A double plus for me. A triple plus for Big Rig. Congratulations, man.
Thank you.
Taco Tuesday carries you over the top.
Thank you.
And then Chef Ben says, outstanding job today, and gave us an A double plus too. All right, you guys have an amazing night. We're back here tomorrow. We will see you then.